As you know, we're going to be finishing the summary, I should say, of the life of Abram and Abraham. And just to keep you in mind, we were actually, we went to number 10 last Sabbath. I had two number sixes and realized, we start in number 11 today. But just to remember, you know, the other areas, kind of hard to try to remember everything, but you know, the very first event happened is when his father was taken from Ur and went into where the Euphrates River is at, and he parked there. And of course, then from there, Abraham was told to leave and depart. That was the second event. The third event is he went into a land, a very specific location, and a very specific area, which is between the, what we call Bethel, or Beth. And I, and he built the first altar there. And so we kind of remember that God has been involved in his life from, well, not necessarily from the beginning, but from a very interesting place. And then he went from there to journey to the south. Okay, and there, remember, it was went all the way down into. Egypt, because there was a famine or a drought taking place. And we kind of know the story there, you know, and it has to do with his wife. And Pharaoh had Pharaoh gave and offered a tremendous amount of things unto Abraham to give honor unto his wife. And so, anyway, we go on. I don't want to go through all of them all over again. But the last one we were on last week was Hagar, when he took on Hagar as his wife. Remember that one? Okay. And then he was told to do something about it. And so he did. He, in a sense, removed her in the future. But now, on the 11th event, it starts in Genesis 17th chapter. And Abram was 99 years old, and then he appeared, and Yahuwah appeared unto him. And in certain places, Yahuwah appears, and other places, Abraham calls upon Yahuwah. So there's two different scenarios. There's always constant communication, I should say, between the two. And they did very... It's how God is. And all the events we've already talked about is that God has been directly involved with every one of those events in his life, and helps us to have hope and faith toward God having direct, not indirect, effect into our lives. The reason why Abraham was so important for us to take a good look at and review is because sometimes we think God is not involved in our lives. However, he gave his son's life, so he's very, very much involved with our lives on a daily basis, not just once in a great while, but on a daily basis. That's why I think, my personal opinion, a lot of prayers are being answered and being heard, because you recognize and understand that God is with you as he was with Abraham. It kind of gives you. Anyway, at 99, there's something that had to take place, and many things took place. And one of those things is Abraham, just before he was... on this 11th event, at 99 years old, something happened to him. God appeared to him, and he said, "Now I want you to walk blameless before me. And so, and you'll keep my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abraham fell on his face, and Elohim talked to him, kept on talking to him. He says, "As for me," God is talking here, "my covenant is between you, and you'll be a father." Now, here's where his name changes. Now, this particular event is not just the name change of his, but also the name change of his wife, to Sarah. And had to do with being a stranger in the land. But as he continued on, drop down to verse 9, this is where the covenant comes in. All right. "As for you," You shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout the generations. What was the covenant? This is my covenant with you. You shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Now that's a covenant. His name was changed from Abram to Abraham, and Sarah's from Sarai to Sarah. And now he says, now that your name is changed, now I'm going to make a covenant between you and me. And your part of the deal is circumcision. And circumcision has everything to do with Abraham and not just anybody. And we know, read on, and he said he will do that. And God, and Abraham said he will do that. This is even before Isaac was born. And circumcision is the point of this particular 11th event. Is circumcision is the point. What is the point of circumcision? Yes.
There was a physical cut in the flesh to show that the promise of the seed was not going to come by natural means, but through a supernatural event.
Okay. Any other input? Ellie?
It's a sign of agreement, of covenant.
Okay. What does the sign tell you, Daniel?
Well, since Abraham's quintessential identity is for faith, that implies that the sign, the circumcision, is a sign of faith. And it's not just I believe God, or maybe this part, just that. But in that, because Abraham believed God, thus that means circumcision, when you are circumcised, because you believe God. So it's an association of identity.
Seeds of Abraham?
Seeds of Abraham, a certain seed of Abraham, yes.
Set apart people. Those are set only. This nation would be the only one that did this.
Okay. Now, the physical tells you something else, doesn't it? There's a spiritual approach behind this. And we know what Moses was told. This is circumcision of the heart that he's after. Now, when we make a covenant with God, a circumcision of the heart, there are certain things we have to do to make sure that our heart has been circumcised. What is it that has been circumcised from your heart? One thing is physical from the male. Now we have spiritual from all who are connected with Abraham. What is it that is being cut away?
The hardness of the heart.
Hardness of the heart. Okay. Any other? Now, in this covenant that God made,
He would write his laws in our heart and our mind.
Yeah, once the heart, the cutting away is there, now the heart is flesh. Remember, he says a heart of stone. Now I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, which is a whole lot softer. And vulnerable. Yes.
Well, because God explains to I think it's Moses or Joshua to roll away the reproach of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Now, because that's there. Now, clearly cutting that part of your body doesn't do anything. That's obvious. It doesn't do anything. So it has to be that you, when you've done so, is that you believe that that reproach, that disgustingness that God has removed from
has removed from within our hearts.
Yeah, it's a pure faith issue, but you have to believe it.
Right. Now, in the removal, how did he remove it? Through death. He removed it by the death of his son. That's the removal that took place. When his son was killed for our hardness, for our sins, for our transgressions, for our iniquities, that's been rolled back, put that way, Daniel used. It's been cut away. You understand what I'm saying? It is a spiritual concept way back during Abraham's time. Because God made a promise to Abraham, which we sometimes forget. He says here, back up to verse 7, he says, I will establish my covenant between you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be Elohim to you and to be an Elohim to your descendants after you are gone. So circumcision has everything to do with relationship of God, actions, God's deeds, because that's a promise he made. Abraham cannot fulfill that promise, nor can Abraham's descendants fulfill that promise. You yourself cannot fulfill that promise, but God can. And the way he fulfilled that promise was when he cut away, the foreskins of the heart. Now that is gone. It's cast away. It's been removed. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope it's not too hard. So that's why this 11th event is it's a very important event. It's getting to the point of just exactly why God did what he did. All right, now let's go to the 12th event. Actually, the 12th event is where his name was changed. Okay. That took place in verse 7, 15, and 16. Prior to that, he had to agree with the circumcision. Then when he agreed with circumcision, then his name was changed. I made myself confused the other way around. And the last 13th one is that he comes to a full promise. Who came to fulfill the promise? When Yahweh appeared unto him, first verse of 18th chapter, when Yahuwah appeared unto him, Abram, by the oak trees of Mamre, as he was sitting at the tent in the heat of the day, so he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there are men standing by. And they came down. And he says, okay, what's going on? Of course, the question is, where's your wife? Verse 9, rather. And he said, she's in the tent. And he said, now verse 10, very important. Elohim comes to fulfill a promise of a son. Because remember he said earlier in one of the events that he'd come and he's going to go, that he said, it's going to come from your loins. And remember, and Abram laughed. He's the first one to laugh at the scene. No, Abram was the first one to laugh. Abraham was the first one to laugh at it. Some of you might have forgotten that. But remember, the word Isaac is, he laughed. Doesn't say she laughed. He laughed. That's what the name of Isaac means. He, meaning a man, laughed. Because he didn't quite picture it because he was too old. His wife was too old. All that kind of stuff. But verse 10 here in the 18th chapter is, I will surely return to you according to the time of life, and behold, your wife shall have a son. Because he said to Abram earlier, it's going to be from your loins. Then, Hagar came on the scene. Okay, that must be from his loins. Well, that didn't happen. They kicked Abraham, rejected that concept. And while that was taking place, when he came, the main thing he did he come to tell Abraham something? Well, obviously, first thing he told him was, you're going to have a son. Sarah's going to have one. And of course, she kind of didn't believe it either. She kind of chuckled. Talking an old lady. Remember, she was 10 years younger. So he was 99, she was 89. Pretty old. All right. Then, inside of this very same chapter, comes another major event that took place in Abraham's life. What do you think it was? The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you remember Abraham earlier, when he went to war, fought for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? and what took place after he came and returned back from destroying the four kings. Yes. Yeah, the king of righteousness came because Sodom, then he went, then that's when Sodom, king of Sodom, tried to have Abram take some money or take some benefits from it. And Abram says, no, I did not. I lifted my hand. I swore. It's an oath in a sense because that's how you do that in those days. You lift your hand unto the Most High God. Those are important events. Now, in your life, you may never thought you've ever taken an oath or ever swore to God, but to a great deal, you probably have and didn't even know it. Probably the time you really repented and asked God to forgive you and help you to overcome, you're asking Him, you will do your very best. And you did probably use His name, whether you call Him God, whether you call Him anything else, because you have to call upon. What did Abraham often do? Build an altar. What did he do? Call upon the name of the Lord. That's the same thing you and I would do in our own life, in a private life, whether it's public or private, we would do that. So we have here, and the story goes through, and after a while, Abraham got him, okay, how, is there anybody there worth saving? And when he reached down to number 10, he disappeared. Walked away. But there's something that he did. What do you think that God did? Verse 17 of the 18th chapter. He said something very important. In a sense, in a nutshell, I will not hide this from Abram, from Abraham. I will tell him exactly what I'm going to do. Now, that was not good news, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because why? Well, his nephew was there, yes. His relatives were there. But was Abraham excited and glad and happy and think, oh, the greatest thing God ever did was destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? No. And sometimes in our own life, we have to be very careful how we may see a certain city anywhere in the world and say, that's Sodom and Gomorrah waiting for God to destroy it. Don't rejoice in the destructions that God brings forth. When God destroyed the world in the first place, it grieved Him personally. And so we sometimes forget the mere fact that that troubled Him. We had the prophets of Isaiah saying, why must I continue on punishing you? Don't want to do that. It's too much. And sometimes God just doesn't do anything, maybe because it's too much for Him to even see. God's not looking for this wonderful thing that's going to take place in the book of Revelation as the most wonderful thing that He's ever done. He's going to have a party afterwards. He says they still did not repent. And therefore the bowls came down. Major destruction. What do we know about God? He wants no one to perish. Why? Because God is directly involved with His creation. He is not off in a never land, middle of nowhere, playing a little game by Himself. We are part of His life, and He is part of our life. Or He said, I will be your God, and you will be mine. We want that in our lives. Now, after that took place, the 16th event, which is in the 20th chapter, 15th event, rather, is in the 20th chapter, another incident took place. Abimelech and Sarah. You remember? Kind of like it was with Pharaoh and Sarah. Now, we could have, because we are human, we can make an unwritten judgment, that is, it's not written in the Torah, against Pharaoh, and we can have an unwritten judgment, which is not written in the Torah, against the king here. Right? Let's not do that. Because he said something, and he stopped the man, because God warned him, verse 3, you are a dead man. We use a phrase, I think, in modern times, a dead man walking. In a sense, that's probably what Abimelech was happening to him. Dead man is walking, he's dead, because he's dead. He's not going to live much longer. And his household had also like a dead man walking, dead people walking. Because of the woman that you have is taken to another man's wife. Now, what did the man do? Had excuse? Is I did not know. He says, verse 6, yes, I know that you did not do this in the integrity of your heart. This is the creator of heaven and earth. Calling this man, Abimelech, who had integrity. What does integrity mean? Honor, respect, uprightness, decent, just. That's what it is. So this particular case, God says, I stopped you from even touching her. And you must go to my prophet. Here's the first time that Abraham was called a prophet from the word of God. At this particular point in time, in this particular event, in relationship to Sarah and Abimelech. Did you notice that? It's very fascinating that we look at this thing and say, okay, that's pretty big stuff. Now, with me. Something else took place during that time. Let's go to verse chapter 20. I lost a page, I think. 25. Yeah, okay. Lost some notes of mine. Anyway. Abraham made an oath. Did you notice that? Abimelech gave him, wrong location. But he had, verse 16, where it says that where she was rebuked, in some of your translation, or she was chastised, and that overused word can't be translated that way in all locations. It basically was he restored back her honor and her integrity. Abimelech did. Sorry, I went ahead of myself on that last one. Hold on. Now, 16th event took place in 21, chapter 21. It's important to pay attention to what happens in his life, because why? It's the first person that the creator of heaven and earth went through an extensive process with him. Why? Apostle Paul tells us why. Why? So it was written there for whose reason? Our reason. It's written there for our understanding. It's written there for our wisdom. And so when you look at Abraham's life, it's there not for Abraham only. It's there for you and for me. And this is why it's kind of important for us to kind of review and look at and say, okay, what happened to his life? It's there written for me to understand Elohim. It's not written there so I have a story to tell my 3-year-old boy, 3-year-old child, 7-year-old kid, even a 25-year-old kid. It's not written there to tell a story. It's written there about God. How God thinks, how God acts, how God institutes, how God carries things out. And you see it in this man's life. Now, In the 21st chapter, guess what? Yahuwah visited somebody. Who did he visit? Abram? Sarah. Oh, really? And he said, Sarah, as he did for Sarah, as he had spoken in the other chapter. Okay? She will bear a child. Now he's come and he's visited her. What do you think he meant by that? When he came to visit, though, this is talking God now. When he came and visited Sarah, Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son. The latter part of that sentence is very, very important. At the set time of which Elohim had spoken to Abraham. He had spoken to Abraham much earlier. And he came to verify it when he was there with Sarah. Now Sarah was pointed at a set time. You know what that word means in Hebrew? Moed. La Moed. Now we know what that means, don't you? We call it Moedim. But it's Moed. Now it's a certain appointed time. He came at a certain appointed time. Now that word visit, explained to you before what that word visit means. You remember what I said before? You don't remember. It comes from the word in Hebrew that she was numbered. Yahweh numbered Sarah. Abraham then, of course, called his son Isaac. And, of course, he circumcised him. It's interesting that in Hebrew, yes.
This set time, are we talking, because it says he's circumcised on the eighth day, so are we looking at the fall feast?
I have my little point. It possible, I would say probably not the fall feast because they didn't keep the feast. It wasn't appointed for Abraham to keep the feast. It wasn't appointed for him. I'd probably make it closer. This is my personal Richard Agee's opinion. Okay? It happened before. What happened in that wall over there? What day does that represent? Possibility of Hanukkah. The reason why I'm thinking of this, because we come to the point when Isaac was to be killed, is a very specific point in time. So it kind of gives you an idea. This is my personal opinion. That's all it is. It doesn't matter. But I just want to understand that word visit has a word meaning number, appointed, or set. So he, Yahweh, appointed Sarah, as he has said. Now it works there too, doesn't it? Appointed her to be the mother. Was God involved with that one? In fact, I think that's the very first one we see him directly involved, right? In a woman's life. Very important woman. As time went by, let's move up to chapter 21 and verse 9. As time went by, of course, what took place? All of a sudden, the son of Hagar was scoffing, making fun of, ridiculing, or whatever he was. That word could be anything you want in a son. And then she said something to Abraham. What was it? Cast her out and her son. And what was Abraham's response?
Evil.
Bad thing to do. I'm not going to do it. And then all of a sudden, in verse 12, Elohim walks in, the sign, and he says something to Abraham. Don't look at it as it's evil. Because of the lad. Or because of your bondwoman. Whatever she said, whatever Sarah said, carry it out. Now, in this particular 17th event, what took place physically? A separation took place, right? They didn't depart like Lot and Abram departed. They were kicked out. Right? That's pretty heavy, don't you think? Now we have bring ourselves in the 21st, 22nd century, 28th century, whatever is going to happen, and we always look at this thing of, oh yeah, Ishmael and yeah, and Isaac, always one another's throat. Is this what the story is all about? The one who was cast out, did God forget him? No. What did God promise Hagar? Ah, that's a blessing, not a cursing. In our world, we might think of that as a cursing. Oh God, what did you do this for? They're a curse to our sons. A curse to Isaac. No, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I will make a nation, verse 13. I will make a nation and a son. And he is your seed, talking to Abraham. I'm doing this because of you, Abraham. But not really. And now, let's go to verse 17 for a moment. She was kicked out and she was terrified to want to see her son die. And now Elohim shows up on the scene again. And he says, what ails you? Don't be afraid. Now, she wasn't an old lady. She was a very young lady with a son, perhaps 13 years old or thereabouts. Don't be afraid. Why? For Elohim has heard the voice of the lad. You remember when she was first, she fled for her life? By the way, Hagar means one who runs away and is afraid and flees for her life. That's what Hagar means. She's fleeing to keep herself alive because Sarah was not nice to her. And so God said, go back. Because she's a bond woman. She wasn't free. She's bond. Very important. Remember, bond. She was bond. She wasn't free. She's bought for and paid for. She's no longer is she free to go where she wants to go. She always had to return back to the one who bought her. This time, he heard the voice of the lad. The first time, he heard the voice of Hagar. He promised her something. Now he hears the voice of the lad. He turned to her and he said, go lift up the lad and hold him in your hand. I'll make him a great people. That's a promise. When God makes a promise, is it a promise of bad luck or a promise of hope? I see it as a promise of hope. Yes.
I don't mean to go on a little side trip here, but this is so very commonly used, and some of us don't know why. When Paul refers in the New Testament.
We're going to get there.
Using this thing to throw out the Old Testament and the law.
You can't, because the Apostle Paul saw something. He understood what this event was all about. Now, when you go back and you read that section in the Apostle Paul, you'll find it very strange. The Apostle Paul saw this event in the life of Abraham as a symbolic event of two covenants. Oh, did you see that? Did you see that? There's nothing there written about a covenant, is there? You can't find it. It's not there. There is two covenants. One's a covenant of a bond person. The other is a covenant of a free person.
Well, that's like the covenant that we walked right past earlier in Abraham's life when he bought the land, or I guess later, he buys the land for Sarah's burial, and we don't even think about that, but that was the beginning of that land being his.
That's the last event and we have in Abraham's life.
But we are starting covenants throughout his life that just look like events. In reality, they're covenants.
When the Apostle Paul talked about two covenants, what was he talking about? I'm sorry, I have to get over there. My earring is bad.
With his son by the flesh.
And we have Apostle Paul telling us Mount Sinai, what took place at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments they're given to the people, they were the people of free, of bondage. Where are the people of freedom? Where were the people of Sarah's children who were of the free woman? Where were they?
Jerusalem.
Now, in our world, why did God make such a, quote, big event? When they pulled him out of Egypt during days of unleavened bread and led them all the way to a place to give them the commandments. Let me ask you a question. What is the complete first commandment? What does it say? Brought you out of bondage. Out of the house of bondage, you will have no other than me. And we look at that first one we have in most of these things is, thou shalt have no other God before me. But the statement before is part of the very same thing. I am the one that brought you out of bondage. Well, that's an interesting word, isn't it? We kind of ignore that. We think that it when Passover time is, time of freedom, 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 freedom. No. He entered into one bondage and entered into another one. That's all that took place. Who are the children of Sarah? The ones that trust, all right? When we go through Isaac's life, we're going to find out a little more about him, but it'll be a whole lot easier than Abraham at this point in time. But now, when the Apostle Paul was saying this in the Galatians, some people think, okay, he brought in an abstract thought. He's deliberately switching that in order to tell a story. He's taking something that doesn't really happen, but he brought it in and made it abstract and almost sound like it's concrete. The truth is, it was very concrete. The people, the free, are those who are the sons of Isaac. For he said, in Isaac, your seed will be called. When we finish this thing, I'm almost finished this thing now. When we're finished with Abraham, we're going to go through the story of Isaac, who is the one born of the free woman. All right? We need to kind of see this in our best of our ability to see what this is all about in Isaac's life. All right? We'll get there. Start with it next week. Now we're in another location. Now after this took place, then another thing took place. And that's the 21st chapter again. It's starting in verse 22. A lot of stuff in 21st chapter, rather. Tremendous amount of stuff in there. It's kind of hard to wrap it all up in one sum. Abraham now takes an oath. This is the one I got confused earlier with. Now he takes an oath. He wasn't the only one, by the way, that took the oath. Who was the person that took an oath with him? Amalek. Listen to the words. Let's go to verse 23. Now therefore swear unto me, Amalek is saying, by Elohim, using Elohim's name, swear that you will not harm my people. Why would he say that for? Because earlier it happened. And remember, God says his man had integrity. He had honesty. He was upright. He was just. He was a good man, but did not know what the story behind the story was all about. And so now they decided to sit there and make an agreement. And they did make an oath. Well, it says later on, as we keep on reading, we don't have to go too very far. And there was this thing about two of them. Verse 27, and Abraham took sheep and ox and gave them to Amalek. And the two of them made a covenant. Okay, they made a deal. Though it doesn't go into detail exactly what they made. It doesn't make any difference. Just like when God said he heard the sound of the boy, the lad, of Hagar. There's no statement of exactly what he heard. It's like it's none of our timing to know what he said. God says, I heard the sound of the lad, and I'll make him great. So whatever this lad said, God heard. I don't even know that Hagar heard it. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. Doesn't say. And then he did something different. He took seven of the sheep. Because something else took place. And Abimelech was saying, what is this? And he says, well, I'm setting this aside. Why? Well, so you will know that I built this well. This is my well. That's gorgeous, called Beersheba. What's Beersheba mean? Beer means well. And Sheba means what? It means seven, which seven, we use the word Shavot or Shavot. It's an oath, same word. When one takes an oath, they take it a seven, they take it a Shavah. Same as you'd say the word Shavah for the number seven. That's why the Sabbath is an oath. When God created the 6 days, he created an oath. An oath of rest. His rest. His oath of rest. And this is the reason why the writer of Hebrews understood but spoken in the book of Psalms. You will surely not enter into my oath. That's something, right? Are you entering into God's oath? Are you part of God's oath? Yeah. That's the most beautiful thing. That's his oath. He said that before he talked to Adam and Eve. He said that before he talked to anybody. And the Messiah said, by the way, the oath was made for man. I'm using a play on words here. The oath was made for man. Man was not made for the oath. Okay, you understand that, Steve? Real simple. Real simple. Real simple thing to look at. Okay. Now, number 19. Chapter 22. What took place here? It came to pass, verse 1, after these things that Elohim tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! He said, yeah, here I am. Yes, 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 I'm right here. And he says, I want you now to take your son, your only Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a whole offering. One on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. as we know the story goes on. So he went up and he took sticks and took things and with the two young men helping him to pack the things on the donkeys. And they went into the place. And so when he saw the place, the fire off, way off, and Isaac said something. Remember what Isaac said? Where's that lamb? Remember I told you last week, it doesn't mean lamb, mean a sheep. That word is used for, it means a young animal from a herd, whether it's goat or whether it's sheep. Same word is used for both. That's why we have on the Passover, it says either a sheep or a goat. The Pacific spells that one out. And what was Abraham's response? Oh, God will provide. Now this is a lad. Now, when they use the word lad in Greek, Hebrew, rather, as someone under the age of 20. All right? Under the age of 20. And now, what do you think was going through Isaac's mind? Well, he heard his father respond, so he believed what his father said, right? Okay. What was going through Abraham's mind? He was going to bind his son and take his life. That's what he went there to do. That's what he went there for. And as the knife was coming down to kill his son, slit his throat. Remember, he had to be bound because the boy would run away. Natural. Scared to death. So he bound his son up so his son could not flee. And as the knife was coming down, an angel of the Lord said something. Don't lay a hand on him. Imagine that wasn't a soft, quiet, sweet little voice going through the wind. I bet it came down with incredible power, might, and could be heard clearly. And do absolutely nothing to him. Okay. Now, what was Abraham thinking? Okay. I imagine it was a relief. All right. But he still had to fulfill the command. A whole offering. For now, I know you fear Elohim. Well, man, this is the 19th test. 19th one. You think after this many years, he get the picture? Or after this many times in his life, do we get the picture? Because that's what's written for. What took place? A ram. Now, a ram is not a pet goat. A ram is a wild one. It's lives out in the boondocks, lives out in the hills, rams are not ones that like to be around people. They're actually kind of a wild, clean animal. You don't go out and pet them. A ram, you know what he's got the big horns for? Ah, man. And when they come running at you and hit you, remember, they could do it on a mountain and knock you down, and their feet still on the mountain, and you're down, rolling down the hill. You know? But somehow, the horns, and this animal called a ram, a grown male animal, his horns got caught. Now, it's kind of hard for me to picture a ram getting caught with some thickets around his head. Unless that's a picture of something else. Crown of thorns. Because the Messiah, what does a ram represent, by the way? Power, strength, might. Not a weakling. And we know Messiah was a strong, powerful, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. But unlike the ram who got his horns caught in the thicket, the Messiah took himself there. This is a story, right? And there was a replacement for Isaac. Listen carefully what I'm saying. There was a replacement for the sons of the free woman. How was Isaac the son of the free woman? Because the ram's life was taken to set Isaac, who was bound, free. Is that hard to see? Hard to maybe explain, but it's hard. It's not hard to see in one way. And of course, he called him out the second time, and he said, "Now, because you've done this, I'm going to do this for you. I will bless you, verse 17, and multiply you and multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand and as the seashore, and as your descendants so also possess the gates of their enemies." All right. Now, what's the last one? Number 10. Oh, number 20 were there. What took place in the very last event? Death of Sarah. Okay. Was that it? Just the death of Sarah, is that in the story? Purchase of the land. The first time that Abraham ceased living in a tent per se. Now he had a piece of property, a significantly large piece of property, and now it's his. It had trees there, it had land there, it had gardens there, you could plant your own food, plenty of room for his cattle, his sheep, his ox, and his 400 men to live there. Because he was the owner of them all, right? He was the boss. So it's a very wonderful story. And the object is not just a place to find a place to bury his wife. Yes, it was. And since that's been purchased, what does it tell you? Now remember, we said when Sarah died, she died at what age?
127.
And when was Isaac born? Abraham was 110 years older. Now, subtract 40 from that. How old was Isaac at this point in time? 37 years old. Isaac was 37 years old when his mother died. And then we'll see what next week, more and more in fondness of what's going on with his life. Anyway, he made a deal, and he bought this thing, bought this land, and now he's got this wonderful piece of property which became part of Israel. With that being said, let me ask him one more question. Was God involved in the 20th one as well? Or just a deal that Abraham made?
He was involved every step of the way, even when we don't see him involved.
Well, that's time Abraham knew when God was involved.
At every step.
Yes. Now, Abraham didn't bicker about the price, did he? He just paid it. You know what the Proverbs says? When someone is going to sell you something, don't bring down the price. You either bought it or don't. Don't bring the price down. Don't offer something less. Offer, take it as it is, period. Abraham did exactly that. And God gave him a place, not just to bury his wife, but a place to bury two other women and two other men. This is why he's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It doesn't go beyond that point. It's just the three. So when we look at Abraham, The book of James says he's called the friend of God. God and he were friends. Good friends. Loyal friends. Dedicated friends. Next week when we start in the story of Isaac, you're going to find out why God used him. The one who was freed and became the son of freedom. If we can see this in Isaac's life, we may be able to see it in our life as well. Are you waiting to see what happens in Isaac's life? Ishmael was not free. She was the son of the bondwoman. And I'll tell you, honestly, maybe to myself, before God began to deal with me, in a sense, I was the son of the bondwoman. All right? Hagar was my mother. And Ishmael was my brother. Simple as that. Book of Romans says, while we were still at war with God. That's big. When we were still at war with God, God then therefore killed his own son in order that we may be the sons of the free woman. It's all spiritual. It's way back there. And Apostle Paul says, the laws of God are spiritual. Flesh cannot understand it. Flesh cannot interpret it. Flesh does not understand what it's all about. But the Spirit does. If God's Spirit is within you, you will understand. Okay, next week it's Isaac.